Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff of Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli.
Today, we're discussing how to best protect your practice from data breaches and cyber criminals, as well as the risks of not implementing cybersecurity measures into your practice, and what to do if a data or email breach occurs. Let's dive right in. Today, I have joining me Gary Salmon, CEO of Black Talion Security.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I want to start off with my first question, which is, you know, can you explain why cyber criminals increasingly target plastic surgery and dermatology practices?
Sure, absolutely. You know, the best way to describe it is think about the data that's in your system, right? The amount of data you store, you have pre and post-op photographs, you have very detailed health histories on patients. There is personally identifiable information, first name, middle, last, address, city, state, zip, date of birth, phone number, in many cases, social security numbers. That type of information is very valuable to criminals. And that's a big issue. If you really look at what's going on in the cyber world right now, there's two big problems. One is obviously ransomware, where the criminals are encrypting all the data on the networks. And then the second part of this is the theft of the information. So what we often see in these cases is the hackers will get into these plastic surgery offices weeks ahead of time, undetected. They will steal all the data. They download all of the doctor's data. Then they encrypt the data. And that's the first indication that the doctor has that, oh, something's wrong here, right? So Dr. Mary Smith walks into her office and sees all of her computers encrypted with ransomware, and she knows she has a problem. But she also doesn't realize that maybe they stole all her data, right? And then if she refuses to pay the ransom to decrypt her data, sometimes the threat actor will notify them and say, hey, that's great, you don't want to pay me, but I have all your data, I'm going to release it. And they do it. You know, there's these shaming sites now all over the dark web that the hackers have. And what they do is they publish anywhere between 1 and 10% of the victim's data to actually prove that they have the data. So that's a big issue. And that's why they want this data. And they know from a payment perspective, doctors pay, right? The doctors pay, and many of them have insurance, and the insurance companies pay because the doctors know the ramifications of that data being leaked.
Off of that, you know, what are the ramifications of this data being leaked? You know, why do cyber criminals want anything to do with this information?
Right. So, I mean, the ramifications are pretty significant. So you have state regulatory issues, you know, for the release of that information. And then obviously the big one is HIPAA. I mean, if that information is released, or stolen, whatever it might be, accessed, this is a significant violation of the HIPAA laws. And guess what? The criminals know this too, right? They get it. And that's why healthcare is being targeted. A, to, you know, basically damage our country during what's going on right now with the pandemic. And secondly, they are taking a tremendous amount of money out of our healthcare system because of these ransom demands. And I will tell you from our experience, a very, very high percentage of the practices are forced to pay the ransom. So these criminals are making billions of dollars a year, you know, on US interest because people are paying. They have no choice because the data's taken and or it's all been encrypted, including all the backups, the cloud technology, et cetera. And that's why it is so effective.
What are some of the risks associated with not having cybersecurity measures in place within these practices?
So I think the biggest issue we see is this. The doctors have an IT company and they see that blinking firewall sitting on the shelf, and every morning they see their little symbol of their antivirus software in the bottom right-hand corner of their screen, and they're like, oh, I'm protected. I'm good. And you know what? Maybe I even asked my IT person, Am I protected from ransomware? And they're like, oh, doctor, of course you are. You know, we're great at this. You have the best firewall. You have the best antivirus software. You're good. And they're surgeons and they are trusting of that information. But the reality is every single ransomware attack we've dealt with in the healthcare space, and we do a lot of these, everyone's had a firewall and everyone's had antivirus software. And this was the technology that has been used for years to protect these practices. But the reality is it just isn't effective anymore, right? And the problem is, just like procedures change over time and doctors change their methodologies and science changes, so does information technology and security. That has to change as well. And what we see way too often is the IT companies are still building these networks the same way they built them in 2016 and 2017. The hackers go out and buy the same firewalls that are in the doctor's offices, the same antivirus software. They figure out how to bypass them. So what practitioners have to do now is they have to implement a multi-layered security approach, which is what cybersecurity firms do. They come in, they identify all the weaknesses in the network. We like to call them, in layman's terms, unlocked doors and windows, right? These are the entry points that hackers use to gain access to your system. Whether it's electronic, right, they're hacking in, or even a human, right, they're trying to trick, you know, the person at the front desk to give them access. So what the practitioners need to do is they have to start understanding that they have to implement this multi-layered approach, the antivirus software, the firewalls, and then use a cybersecurity company to run very sophisticated tests, deploy very sophisticated tools on the network to identify how hackers can break in and then lock those doors. And when you take this holistic approach, this multi-layered approach, you actually have a very effective real cybersecurity solution, not something that feels good or looks good, something that's actually effective. And that's the mindset that has to occur. And what I tell all my healthcare clients is cybersecurity and IT is very much like the information, or very much like the medical world, right? There are generalists like a GP or an internist, and then there's the specialist, i.e. like a plastic surgeon, and they serve very different purposes. Are they both doctors? Absolutely. And in the cyber world, it's the same thing. The IT companies are kind of like the generalists. They keep the computers running, do basic security, and then cybersecurity companies come in as specialists and harden these networks and protect them. So that's what they have to do. They have to adapt to the new tactics that these hackers are deploying.
Okay, my next question, you know, how will these practices know that they've had like a data breach, and how should they fix this problem once they encounter it?
So I think most of these attacks, there are telltale signs. It's very obvious. You walk into your office on a Monday morning, you try and start to your practice management software, your accounting, whatever, and it doesn't work. Or more obvious, there's a ransom note on your screen saying your system's been encrypted with ransomware. You know, don't try and undo it. Here's an email address, here's how you contacted us, and we'll tell you how to pay and how much you need to pay. So I think there's some very obvious signs, but the reality is in many of these cases that we're involved with, as I alluded to earlier, the hackers are in the system for weeks prior to the practice knowing, and there's no way to know, right? Unless you have tools on the network that can help identify that entry, you're not gonna know. But the reality is it's very obvious once it happens.
And should these practices do, you know, to fix this problem? Once, you know, let's say theoretically, you know, you walk into the office and you notice a data breach, you know, what should be the first like three steps that these people should do? Should they contact the police, you know, contact cybersecurity? What should they do?
Right. So fantastic question. So what we usually say is rule number one, disconnect the internet. So make sure you unplug your cable modem, your any type of internet connection you may have. We also tell people to actually leave the computers on. A lot of people want to actually just start shutting everything down. If the attack is already executed, that's not effective, right? And you actually may lose some information as to what happened and whether data was accessed or taken. Step two is to immediately grab all your backups. If you have a connected backup to your system, there's a high likelihood that the hackers took it out. So you may actually have no backup. There's a chance that maybe they didn't take it out yet, or the attack is still underway. Disconnect the backup drive, because that may be your only lifeline to getting your data back. Step three, you nailed it already. It's you got to reach out to a cyber firm. What we find in way too many cases is the IT companies, they don't have the expertise to deal with these types of attacks. And they're kind of just, and they're great at what they do, but they just want to fix things. They're like, oh, Dr. Smith, you know, I'm so sorry your network's down. You know, we'll get you back up and running in a couple of days. We'll just format everything and you know, we'll get you recovered. And that's not a logical thought, but that's not the right process. All right. So a cyber firm will help you not only recover your data, but also help you understand there's a lot of compliance and legal issues around this recovery process. So, you know, those are the things that you should do. But what I tell everyone is it's going to be a painful process, right? Most practices, healthcare providers that are hit by cyber attacks, they will probably have to close their doors for at least 1 week. And in most cases, it's about 2 weeks. And even at the 2 week mark, they may be limping along. Not all the systems may be back up and running, because in many cases, you're at the complete mercy of the criminals, right? This ransomware technology is so sophisticated, you just typically cannot beat it. You have to pay the ransom if all your data is encrypted. And then there's communications that have to go back and forth between the cyber firm and the criminals and money transferring and all these other things. So it's definitely a hard pill for the doctors to swallow, because they just want to start doing surgery and treating patients again. And they have to understand that there's a lot of work that has to be done.
Absolutely. You know, I find this topic really interesting because prior to coming to Dermatology Times, I was in the broadcast news industry, and there we received a kind of a tip for a story about how an eye care office was a victim of ransomware and a data breach. And, you know, they contacted the police and everything. And I think a lot of, you know, physicians in general don't think it's as common as it is until it already happens. And then, you know, you're kind of screwed from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think about, you know, what a derm practice has, especially people have skin cancer and things like that, you know, there's been cases, it's out on the internet, where the hackers have breached the practice. They take all the patient data and the practitioner refused to pay them. You know what the criminals do? They reach out to the patients directly and say, hey, we have your health history form. We know you had skin cancer. We know you had this. You know, here's a photograph we took of you, pay us $5,000 and we won't release that information. You know, if you have high profile individuals in your database, maybe they're individuals that work at publicly traded companies that are executives, right? High profile celebrities. Imagine if that data got out. Like, it doesn't matter that they're in that specific role, but that type of event could trigger a stock price to plummet. If you think about it, right? I mean, hey, this person has, you know, stage 3 melanoma. I'm going to release that information if you don't pay me $100,000. And if it gets released, could that impact the future, you know, stock price of that company? Potentially, yes. You know, and so there's a lot of ramifications people need to think about. And then, you know, it's the same issue. How would you feel if this information was published, right? If you were a patient, if you were the dermatologist, right, and you were a patient of another doctor's office and your data was compromised and they released information about you, how would you feel about that, right? And that's what I try and tell all the doctors. Put yourself in the role of your patients. What if this happened? How would they feel? What would be the PR impact? You know what everyone does right now? Everyone instantly runs to social media, Facebook. Oh, you won't believe it. I just got this letter from this derm practice and they got breached and, you know, all my photographs of my treatment, you know, were stolen. This is a disaster. Don't go there. This is what people are doing now. And then what does that trigger? You know, potentially class action lawsuits and all these other things. People start jumping on board. They follow the money, right? And that's a challenge right now. It's a big issue. And, you know, a lot of practices don't even have insurance to cover this. You know, we see this all the time. They don't understand the cost. So what I'll say is, even for a very, very small practice, say even a couple computers, one doctor, the cost for most ransomware attacks in terms of mitigation costs is going to be over $100,000. You know, so
that's crazy.
Yeah, because most of the ransomware payments for a small healthcare provider, say a small derm practice, plastic, you know, dental office, it's around $40,000 just for the ransomware payment. Could be higher, you know, if they have a lot of photographs and things like that, and a lot of attachments, obviously lab reports, that drives the price up, because often the hackers dictate the price of the ransom based on the amount of data they have. So the more data you have, the more you pay. It is proportional in most instances. So I tell everyone, hey, if you are not prepared, you better have $100,000 sitting in a bank account somewhere to get your practice back online, or have insurance and cyber. But you know what a lot of healthcare providers are doing, and I think it's a mistake, is they are offsetting their risk through insurance policies. So instead of actually securing their network and protecting their patients, they're like, well, for, you know, $1,000, I'll go buy $250,000 or $500,000 insurance policy. If I get hit, who cares? The insurance will pay. You can't think that way, right? Especially since this data is now being stolen, which is a relatively new tactic, you know, by the hackers.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So my next question is, you know, how can plastic surgery and dermatology practices avoid a data breach?
Right. So I think the most effective way is to implement a multi-layered approach, okay? The best analogy I have is a home burglary, right? So you can go out and buy a $15 lock from a hardware store and put it on your front door, and I can come by as a criminal and kick your door and the door's gonna fly open. The lock's not gonna do anything. Or I can go out and buy a $300 deadbolt and throw it on that door and it becomes a little bit more difficult. And then I can layer in an alarm system and video cameras, and maybe I put this huge dog that sits out on my porch and barks at anyone that drives by. That is kind of the equivalency of what we do. We look at the network from a holistic perspective, understand the risks, and then we make suggestions on how to harden that network, right? Turn this protocol off, turn this protocol on, use this piece of software instead of this. You know, you're not using strong passwords, you have to use strong passwords, you need a password manager, things like that. Obviously a lot more detail than that, but that's what practices have to do, right? And just relying on what we call shelfware, right? Which is a piece of software or a piece of hardware, it doesn't work anymore, right? Because what we see too many times is the IT companies make these crazy promises. Hey, this is the most advanced piece of software. This will protect you. So let me give you a good example of this analogy. We did a very large breach case in the Maryland and Virginia area. It was a dental technology company, and they had promised all of these clients that if you spend these thousands of dollars on this backup solution, it's ransomware proof. So all these healthcare providers, many of them were dentists and physicians and some other businesses, many of them bought this very expensive backup solution. Now the vendor said, hey, it's ransomware proof, you're fine. So what did the healthcare provider say? Well, I can't get hit with ransomware, right? Because if I do, if my computers get hit, I can still go to my backup drive and recover that data. So for the average person who's non-technical, which is 99.9% of the doctors, they don't, you know, right? That's just, they focus on the surgery and the treatment of the patients. They're like, oh great, I'll spend that money to keep my practice up and running. So you know what the hackers did? They didn't encrypt these backup drives with ransomware. They hacked into every single backup drive and erased the drives. So in theory, they were ransomware proof. But the reality is all the doctors still had to pay the ransom demand, which averaged about $45,000 in this case, because they had no data, right? The hackers took out all the cloud backups. They took out the servers, the workstations, and the backup drives, and there was no recoverable data. So these are the types of things that, you know, cyber firms can really come in and help advise clients about. And then ultimately they can make a decision. And that's what I see or hear all the time from doctors who have been victims of ransomware attacks. And they make statements like, wow, if I had just known this, I would have made a different decision, right? I would have gone down a different path. And that's a challenge right now in the healthcare space. I think the large hospitals, they get all this, right? No one's going to ever argue that. They have the budgets, they have the resources, they have the people to take care of this. But for the average healthcare provider and physicians group, there's no education around this. And they're just making decisions based on what a vendor is telling them versus, you know, seeking out expert advice and then being able to say, okay, this makes sense. And I need to allocate a budget, you know, for security now, because I can't be put in this position, or our practice can't be put in this position. So this whole multi-layered approach. So what is the multi-layered approach to answer your question? There's something called vulnerability management. Cyber firms use very sophisticated tools that analyze every single device on the network for vulnerabilities. It is obviously a computer, a laptop, a server, but it could be that smart TV hanging on the wall in the waiting room. And it could be the telephone system, security cameras that the practice has in place. hackers can gain access to these devices and then launch attacks against other parts of the network, for example, the server. Or they can use these devices to deploy malware that steals usernames and passwords to cloud technology. So vulnerability management tools identify these unlocked doors and windows, and then cybersecurity firms work with the client to lock those doors, right? To prevent the access to that smart TV that can result in an attack against the server. So vulnerability management has to be part of your solution, right? It's basically non-negotiable. If you want to be secure, you have to manage vulnerabilities. The second part is training, right? Stacy or Dave sitting at the front desk booking appointments who are also opening emails can click on things, can download attachments that will result in a cyber attack. That's how hackers beat a lot of these devices. They rely on the humans to make a mistake, right? So you have to train. Now, the interesting thing is a majority of practices, I will say over 90% of healthcare providers don't know that under the HIPAA law, cybersecurity awareness training is required. It's not negotiable. It's just like OSHA training or the traditional HIPAA training. You have to train on cyber threats. And now more than ever, more and more states are requiring cybersecurity awareness training in order to mitigate risk to their residents. So you got vulnerability management, you have training. Another important thing is called a penetration test. So we have ethical hackers that will literally try and break into these doctor systems and then expose the network. And then what we do is we use it for good purposes, obviously. And we go back to the IT company or the managed service provider and say, hey, here's how we broke into Dr. Mary Stein's office. Here are the things that you need to do to lock this network down. And our joke is we can even lock our own selves out of your network if it's done properly. So this penetration test is really important. And in fact, when you speak to most government agencies that, you know, either protect, obviously, government entities, you know, that do this cyber from a cyber perspective, or agencies that recommend best practices back to quote unquote civilian businesses, i.e. a healthcare provider, they often say you have to do a pen test on your network because the hackers are doing it. Whether or not you want to believe it, they are doing it. They can scan millions of IP devices in hours nowadays. So they're going to hit your network eventually. You're just going to get caught out there. So the pen test is important. And then the last part is an audit. In the HIPAA world, people call it a risk assessment, risk analysis, but a common term is kind of like an audit. What happens here is, for instance, we would ask the healthcare provider or a practice administrator, an IT vendor, about 75 questions. And what we're doing there is we're trying to understand where they have risk. A lot of practices now have remote employees, right? Their biller now works from home instead of coming into the office. How are they logging into the network? Are they doing it securely? Are they using the appropriate technology? Because you know what? Remote access is one of the riskiest things you can turn on your network because you're now saying, hey, world, I got a connection here. If you want to connect to me, go ahead. I may or may not let you in. And if it's not configured properly, et cetera, they're going to get right in, right? We see a ton of healthcare data breaches due to improperly configured remote access. And the reality is a lot of IT vendors just flip some technology on. Often it's free. And they say, hey, Dr. Mary, look, I got remote access for your billing person. You know, she can log in from home, no problem. The doctor's like, sounds great to me. I didn't have to even pay for it. Nope, it's free, right? And then a week later, they walk into a fully encrypted network and there lies your problem. So these audits expose things like remote access, backup policies and procedures, right? Because that hard drive sitting on your dining room table that you take home every night with you is the difference between something costing you a few thousand dollars and something costing you hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right, this disconnected backup concept is very important. So we also talk about their email and email security. So that's another big issue that we're seeing more and more of is email breaches, where practices have their email systems compromised. And you know what? What's in that email that's protected, electronic protected health information? Communications between the doctor and the patient, between the doctor and referrals, doctor in a hospital or a lab or something like that. That information is accessed by hackers, you actually have a data breach. Maybe they did not get into your server and access your, you know, your EMR or EHR, but they did get into your email, and it's a huge problem right now. And a lot of doctors have unsecured email. They're not using multi-factor authentication or two-factor, whatever you want to call it. They're using free services. We still have doctors with AOL accounts and Yahoo accounts, and they're not configured properly. And then all of a sudden they get hit. And the sad thing is many of these doctors get hit once. We're like, hey, doctor, you need to get rid of that free email account. And they're like, I don't think I really need that. And then 2 weeks later, they're back on the phone. Oh, well, we got hit again. You know, so it's, you know, it's a challenge sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I think you provided some really great information today. And you have a great day.
Thank you so much, Morgan. It's a pleasure.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.